Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
Goodness. I'm going to give a warning. In a little bit, I'm going to get in the boat, but I'm going to give a warning of something that might happen because I'm not responsible for what happens after this if something happens. Rumor has headed that people have seen spiders in the boat. If Pastor John gets in the boat, you will know when I see a spider. I want all recording to stop. I want the microphone to stop. And if you hear something that sounds a little like I shouldn't have said it, it's probably just a prayer language that I'm saying. We don't like spiders. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, if you got one. Open your Bible, Matthew chapter 14. If you didn't bring your Bible, I encourage you to bring your Bible. Bible in your lap will help bring the Bible in your life. If not, look on your phone. We've got Bibles. There's baskets right back here by the table. If anybody wants a Bible, hey, you're at home, feel free. Get up, go grab one. Take it home with you. Anybody needs a Bible, there's two baskets right here that you can come and just grab one and you can look at it. Matthew chapter 14 is where we're going to be. I'm just giving time for the spiders to come to the altar. Oh. Yeah, so y'all are laughing, but if I step in a boat and a bunch of like baby spiders came out, y'all lose y'all's faith too. Guarantee it. About almost 2 months ago, I was praying in my office, which is a good thing for a pastor to do. And I was praying like I normally do in there, and I was just seeking the Lord. And the Lord, and He drew me to this chapter, and I started reading, and He just started speaking all kinds of stuff to me. And there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to share all the things that He shared with me. There's just no way in the world. I want to, but I mean, we'd have to be here all day. Because He just was speaking so many cool things to me. You know how the Lord does that? Like you'll be reading and there's a story that's about a certain people at a certain place and a certain time that had, you know, that was about them. But when you're reading, the Holy Spirit, the tutor, the comforter, the helper comes and it's like He reads the word to you. It's like it's jumping off the page and He's speaking to you. I love that. And he takes the things of an event and a story that happened then and happened to them, and He uniquely ties it to your life and shows you something unique and specific. And it's just cool when that happens. Because you know it's the historical account is true and accurate and good and whatever for them, but how the word is living and it jumps out to you. You can't get that anywhere else. That's why it's important to live a lifestyle of being in the Word. And I was in the Word that day, and He started speaking some things to me that I thought were for me. And for about 2 days, I was processing it as if it was only for me. Like some things are for me, and some things are through me for other people. And so I had to decipher. And at the time, for about 2 days, I thought it was for me. And it was really important stuff. And then I felt like after about 2 days, He was saying, now that you've got it, this is for them. And I thought I was going to interrupt my lampstand sermon. It was so powerful. I thought I was going to interrupt my lampstand sermon, number one, the church didn't burn down. Praise the Lord during that. How many of y'all enjoyed the lampstand sermon? All right. So I thought I was going to interrupt that, but I felt like, no, He said, at first I thought He said do it the last Sunday of the year, and then I was like, no, I felt like He said do it the first Sunday of the year. So for the first Sunday in 2020, I'm going to teach you what the Lord taught me, what's for me, but I believe is for you. And I hope you listen intentively, because I believe your life will never be the same if you do. So let's just read the story in Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Matthew 14. Starting in verse 22. I'm going to try not to preach it when I read it. We'll just see what happens. Verse 22. When you got it, say got it. immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. I'm already failing. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. If you don't have the wisdom to lie down when the Lord says lie down, he has ways of making you for your own good. Lie down. It's best if we just lie down. You've heard me say it a billion times here. Immature people or mature people are moved by a conversation with God. Lie down. I lie down. Immature people are only moved by consequences. And if that's the first time you've heard that here, you've not been listening. But I'm glad you're here anyways. So he made his disciples get into the boat. Like they didn't want to. Like, I don't want to get in the boat. And we know why here in just a second. And go before him to the other side. Somebody say the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So I know now why they didn't want to get in the boat, why he had to make them get in the boat, because he wasn't getting in the boat with them. And they're like, Jesus, I thought we was going. He said, no, you're going. So I know now why they didn't want to get in the boat, because he wasn't getting in the boat with them. He sent them away in a boat. Meaning you're going to have, sometimes that's the only way for you to learn something. And you're moving to the next young grasshopper. You're moving to the next level. This is the only way for you to learn something. He goes up to the mountaintop to pray. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Somebody say middle. Tossed by the waves. For the wind was contrary, which means opposite. So the wind was opposite. Wind speaks of spirits. In the Bible, the word for breath and for spirit is the same thing. And wind throughout Scripture, which I don't have time to do it, can speak of like the wind of doctrine it talks about. And so wind can represent invisible forces that move. And so the wind was opposite. There is an opposite force to the glory of God. The wind was opposite. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. And underline that, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. I do not be afraid. And so what that literally means is, this is what he said. This is what they would have heard. Take courage, I am. And for a Jewish mindset, a Jewish ears, for the one who they believed to be the Messiah, going back to, you know, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I am. Well, and all the stuff about I am. What he said is, take courage. I am. Oh, I love that. Verse 29 or 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I just want to read that one more time. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. It's not that he walked on water. He walked on water for what purpose? To go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, ye of little faith. What I would have thought Jesus would have said was, oh, I'm so sorry you got wet. Let me dry you off. Let me give you some warm socks. Let me help. You're falling. Oh, no. What Jesus did, oh, ye of little faith. Jesus loves you enough. Jesus loves you enough and has the discernment to know when to comfort you and when to confront you. Oh, ye of little faith. Because I'd have been like, I walked on water. Them jokers still in the boat. I don't get a star, a cookie, something. I did, you know, come on. But no, oh, ye of little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they, meaning Jesus and Peter, got into or back into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. Oh, now y'all want to do something. Saying, truly, you are the Son of God. John chapter 6 and Mark chapter 6 both record the same story. But the interesting thing about John chapter 6 and Mark chapter 6, when they're recording this story, they share a couple things. Like one of them was sharing about how they were rowing all night. They were rowing in the night, like straining for 3 or 4 miles. They were rowing with, it represents man's effort. I told you what wind represents. Now, rowing represents man's effort. I can do this. I've got this. I can do this. Just my determination. And they were rowing, and they rowed all the way to the middle. I don't think there's a place in the Bible you see somebody rowing all the way to the other side. About as far as you can get is middle. And another place, it says that, and both of them talk about Jesus walking on water. In Mark 6 and John 6, they both talk about Jesus walking on water. And in Mark 6, I believe, it says, it gives a phrase that says, and Jesus would have passed them by. Like just walk on past them. Like, hey, what's up? Just keep on walking. Just like the woman who had the issue of blood and Jesus was like passing by her. See, sometimes we're so weak in faith and immature that Jesus, when we didn't know him or when we were babes in Christ, he came right to us. You ever notice like a baby, you have a baby, they cry, mama comes right to him, daddy comes right to him to help. They get teenagers and they cry, mommy and daddy don't go right to him. Because there's things that you need to take responsibility for now. And so Mark, I think it's Mark 6 or that was talking about, it was almost like Jesus was passing them by until they cried out. You know, and then at the end of it in John 6, which I'll tie in here in a little bit, at the end of it in John 6, it talks about Jesus when he got back in the boat, that they were in the middle. Jesus, after the walking on water happened, Jesus got back into the boat. It says immediately they were to the other side. So the miracles are not just walking on water, but as soon as Jesus got in the boat immediately was to the other side. We rode half the night to get to the middle. Jesus got in the boat immediately on the other side. The other two things that's interesting that Matthew shows, because Matthew's a detail guy, but Mark and John don't show, it blows my mind. Mark and John have no record of Peter walking on water. If I was Peter, I'd be like, what's up with that? No record of Peter walking on water. Talks about Jesus walking on water. Skips the whole Peter thing. John, it's like, it's just funny to me. John's a disciple who's sitting in the boat while while Peter's walking on water. So when he begins to write about it, he just kind of like, yeah, we're just going to leave that part out. You know, there's people who won't recognize the victories that Jesus accomplishes in your life. But you can still walk in victory nonetheless. Because as long as you know what God did. So, they row out in the middle of the night, and there are these disciples sitting in the boat. Here's these disciples sitting in the boat. And if I can get a couple of volunteers who want to bring their Bible with them, you got to have a Bible with you, though. A couple of volunteers who want to be disciples today. You're not going to walk on water. That's my job. and I don't see any spiders. Spiders, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. A couple disciples who bring a Bible with them want to come sit in the boat. Come on up, about three or four. Come on. Anybody who wants to, come on. If you don't, fine, I'll sit in the boat by myself. I'm fine if y'all don't want to be up here in the boat with me. But anybody who wants to sit in the boat, come on. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come on. Sit. You can. Somebody can sit on here. You can sit on the end. Yeah, girls, come on. We can sit in the boat. Yeah, here, you can. Yeah, you. There you go. Sit in the boat. Get your Bible open. Somebody said something about Gilligan to me before service, and so right now I've got the theme song of Gilligan in my mind. Gilligan! Anyways, Lord help us. Sitting in the boat, the Lord is, he's not with us. I'm Peter, the Lord's not with us. We're rowing all night, going. The middle of the night, we're not even halfway, we're barely halfway there. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing the waves. Now, what do waves represent? You just figure this out however you want, but when the Lord was speaking to me, I believe waves represent circumstances. The wind moves circumstances. The wind moves the water, and then the water moves us. And we're trying to row against the circumstances, trying to get to where Jesus said get to, but he's not with us, so it's really difficult. And we're going, and then in the middle, then the wind's coming, the rain's coming, it's loud, it's all this stuff, and then I think I see something, and it's like, hey, I think I see something. And then Gilligan says, it's a ghost. And we're like, oh. And the Lord says, take courage, I am. And through the wind, I thought I heard I am. And then Gilligan's like, no, that's a ghost talking. And I'm like, no, I think that's I heard I am. And suddenly Peter's like, oh, I've got to find out the difference. I can't just sit here and do nothing. I've got to do something. So the first thing you need to do if you want to walk in what we're going to be talking about today is you got to be aware in the middle of the rain, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the wind, in the middle of the waves, in the middle of the boat, and even with Gilligan. You've got to be aware of where the Lord is. And you can't do that. You can't do that half-heartedly. You can't do that with a half commitment. You've got to be a person who says, he's first in my life. I can't be ignorant of the enemy's devices, but my focus is Jesus. So I think it's him. Lord, and the wind's blowing, it's loud. And so I don't think it was like, Lord. I think it was, Lord, if that's you. I love how he didn't say, bid us to come. Because he's not responsible. Peter's not responsible for everybody else in the boat. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Because I believe in the question, the question showed Peter's readiness to act. So Peter had awareness that it was Jesus. First thing you need, if you're writing notes, taking notes, you need awareness of where Jesus is. Second thing, you got to ask the right question in prayer. Lord, is that you? If it's you, bid me, speak to me to come. Command me to come. And when I was sitting on my knees in my office and I was praying and then reading when Jesus said, come, it was just like, poof. And what he spoke to me in my office was, it was just like somebody sitting next to me talking to me. I didn't hear it audibly, but heard it in my heart, is, come, I'm inviting you out of 2020 into 2021 and you're going to do the impossible. And you know what I did immediately with tears? You know what I did immediately? Lord, if it's you, if what's jumping off the page, if it's you, bid me come. bid me come. Nothing powerful about the boat, nothing magical about the water. It's all about Jesus. So you got to be aware of where he is. You've got to be willing, second thing, you've got to be willing to ask, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Jesus, Peter was probably halfway falling out the boat, leaning in to listen. Command me to come. Y'all quit talking. Out of all the voices, he was listening for one. And Jesus said, come. And Peter took action. You got to be aware of where the Lord is, and you have to take action in response to his voice. Immediately. Peter says, and Gilligan and the other disciples, it's your fault for saying Gilligan to me. Gilligan and the other disciples said, where are you going? Where are you going? Because sometimes, that's not safe. Sometimes doubt and fear masquerades as wisdom. And Peter said, whatever, walking on water. Now, it's not that he's walking on water. He's walking to Jesus. But Jesus will go. Jesus will go to, he'll go into your future. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Past, present, and future. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So everything is now for him. Your past is now. Your future is now. Everything is accomplished and done. So from your future, he goes out and stands where you think it's impossible to stand in the middle of the storm and calls to where you are from where he wants you to be and says, come. So he's standing where he has already made provision for you to be. And he says, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking to the Lord. And at first, the wind's going, the waves are going. It's not that everything stopped and Peter walked out of the boat. It's not Jesus was like Yoda and made him levitate out of the boat. Sometimes we think that's what it's going to be like. Lord, I want freedom. Lord, I want hope. Lord, I want. I see that my life is not meant to be stuck here in this boat. And I do think you want me to be there or there or there or have a different kind of life. So Lord, be like Yoda and come and just take me out of the boat. That's not how it works. You got to be aware of the Lord. And when he begins to, you see him and you think it's him, take courage. I am. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. You got to ask the question. And then when he says come, you got to step out. Well, what if everybody in the boat is saying, don't step out. See, that's why you can't just, That's why you have to have a lifestyle of learning to be in the Word of God, to learn to hear his voice. You can't do it once or twice a year and make a radical step to get out of a boat thinking you've heard the Lord, but you haven't been walking with him for a long time. You can't do dumb stuff. That's why you got to walk with the Lord to learn his voice. Then when he says, come, you can step out. That's why it's important to be with the Lord daily, to train yourself to hear his voice, to recognize when it's you talking to you, when it's the devil talking to you, when it's Gilligan talking to you, or when it's Jesus talking to you. You got to learn the voice of God. And when you learn that, you can respond and you get out of the boat and you can come. And so at first he's walking by faith. The just shall walk by faith. So he's walking by faith and he's walking on water because he's walking by faith. And the wind and the waves are still there. That didn't stop so he could walk on water. God won't stop all the circumstances so you can do the impossible. He'll have you do the impossible in the middle of the circumstances. That's how he operates. And if you're waiting for the wind to stop before you get out of the boat, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because he doesn't get the glory when the wind stops and then you get out. He gets the glory when the wind's raging and you should be drowning, but you're walking. And if you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. And so he's walking by faith. Then something happens, and he starts walking by sight. And as he's walking by sight, bloop, bloop, he sees the wind. He sees. See, what happened, there's two different dimensions of realities. There's the realities of the wind, the realities of the waves, the reality of I shouldn't be doing this right now, the reality of maybe I'm the only one that was dumb enough to get out of the boat. You ever done that? You ever felt like God said something to you and you walked out and you look back and all the people who you'll later find out were walking in fear, but you thought they were walking in wisdom and maybe you were the only one walking, you know, in something that wasn't smart. And so all these realities, and then there's the reality of Jesus. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus, off of the King, and he puts his eyes on the realities that are physical and natural. Common sense, which I believe is not that common anymore. But you got kingdom sense, eyes on a king, and common sense. And in the midst of those two choices, Peter was walking with kingdom sense and then started walking with common sense. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started walking by sight instead of walking by faith. Bloop, bloop. And as he starts to sink, see, what you see, what you focus on, will determine whether you stand or whether you sink. And he was sinking and had enough wisdom and faith to say, Jesus! And I'm so thankful that some of us in the room are not Jesus, because if it was some of us in the room, we'd have been like, you should have kept your eyes on me. I told you so. Bloop, 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 bloop. Yeah, I told you so. See, next time you might listen to me. But I'm so thankful he's full of mercy. And he reaches down and catches him. Catches him, but then he loves him enough not to pamper him. And it's okay, Peter. It's okay. You did what the rest of the people didn't do. It's okay. You're. He got him up and said, "Well, you have little faith. Like you had some faith. You had some faith. You had some faith. You were walking in faith. You had some faith. But why did you doubt?" Jesus didn't ask the question, why did you doubt? Because Jesus was confused about why Peter doubted. Jesus was totally understood. Jesus never asked questions so he can learn something. Jesus asked questions so we can learn something. Why did you doubt? Why? See, little faith, why did you doubt? And before I finish this, let's go in the Bible. Go to James chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1. Oh, I love hearing the Bible pages turning. James chapter 1. And let's just read this for a second. I think it'll speak volumes to you, just like it did me. James chapter 1. Look, if you're not there, turn faster. James 1. Look at verse 2 because it's all good. We're going to start James 1 verse 2. We're going to read down a little bit. James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, shall not want. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, never ask in fear, never ask in fear, never ever ask in fear. Anytime you're asking the Lord, always ask in faith. Never let your fear promote asking. Always ask in faith, trusting the goodness of God, trusting the faithfulness of God. He's been faithful. Like he spoke to the congregation last week, he's faithful. He's always been faithful. He remains faithful when we're not faithful. Don't allow our ability to be unfaithful determine or distort your view of his ability. He doesn't have an ability to be unfaithful. So let him ask in faith. With how much doubting? Now that word doubting, what it means is it means hesitation. It means hesitating. It means you're hesitating between two opinions, between two possibilities. You're stuck between two opinions and you're paralyzed. You don't know which way to go. You're stuck. Do I stay in the boat? Do I walk on the water? Do I stay where I believe it's safe? Do I stay with everybody else or do I go with him? So I'm between two options. What do I do? What do I do? I don't know. So doubt is hesitating between two options. And when you don't live a lifestyle of faith and you don't have regular time in relationship with the Lord to where you know his voice, the only option you have is to hesitate. Because you've not matured to a point that you've learned his voice. Because when you hear his voice outweighs everything else and gives you the courage to take your step and take action. Because you got to take action. You got to be aware of where he is. You got to ask the right question. You got to take action to what he says. And then you got to keep attention is the last A. So it's hard to get all the A's out of the way. You got to keep attention. You got to keep your attention on Jesus, your eyes on Jesus. But this is happening and that's happening. Oh my gosh. Whatever you have to do to keep your attention on him, he is the one that matters. He's the one that matters. But what about all this? He's already pre-calculated their ability to mess things up. He's already pre-calculated your ability to mess things up. Focus on him. And so this doubt is this hesitation. So what he's saying is ask in faith with no hesitation. With no doubting. For he who doubts, watch this, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. It doesn't say, let no man suppose that God won't give anything. This scripture is not about God not giving us, because when he gave us Jesus, he gave us all things. So this is not, if you hesitate, God won't give it to you. No, if you hesitate, you won't be able to receive what he gave you. So what you need, you already have. You just need to know how to receive it. Many times I've fallen into the trap of asking God to give me what he already gave me. But I was not aware of what he gave me. So I didn't know how to get my hands on what he already gave me to apply it in this situation. You have what you need in Christ. Matter of fact, just whisper that to somebody next to you. You have what you need in Christ. For let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So Peter is in the boat. He's in the boat. Lord, if it's you, Gilligan, stop talking. Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Because when the Lord speaks, he never speaks suggestions. Command me to come. You know why it's important to understand the command of the Lord? Because if he commanded, Gilligan, nor the waves, nor the wind can stop it from happening. He commanded it. The only one who can stop it from happening is me. but Lord, you don't understand. But Lord, you just don't understand what I've been through. But Lord, I'm not having a good day. But. When it needs to be the readiness of, Lord, you command it. You command me to come, and I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm asking the question with readiness. My shoes are tied. I'm ready to go. And I got my Jordans on. I'm ready to walk on water. And so when you say, come, here we go. And they could be, where are you going? That's not safe. Please stop. Oh, okay, whatever. I'm walking. And as I'm walking on water, and I'm coming. Then I fail. See, the miracle doesn't stop just because you failed. The miracle doesn't stop just because you failed. How many of you failed? The miracle of God and the purpose of God does not stop because you fail. The invite is still come. You cannot stay where you are and go with God at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. You've got to make a decision to say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. And even after I fail, the assignment is not over. He grabs me. We walk again on water back to the boat. And we get in the boat and the miracle continues. Even though I failed in the middle of it, the miracle continues. Because what happens is I get with him in the boat. And when we get back in the boat, immediately it's on the other side. Immediately it's on the other side. And then two disciples writing later, but don't even talk about me walking on water. But I know the miracle. I heard the voice. I heeded the call. I said yes when others said no. I went when others wouldn't go. And I didn't, it's not a blind faith, and it's not a deaf faith. It's not jumping out of the boat, you know, trying to get Jesus to move. It's listening, being led by his voice. And when he says, come, I come. And I believe what the Lord is doing in his church and in our lives. You can sit, hey, sit up there, sit in that seat. I don't want you to be uncomfortable.
There was a spider down there.
Okay. Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying I'm glad it was on you and not on me. I'm with you, brother. I'm praying for you. Whew. Yeah. Now, the way they could have freaked me out, it's been like, Pastor, something's on your back. Woo! I'd have been in the balcony. I'll tell you. Y'all would have seen a miracle up in here. All right, you good? Okay. Oh, what was I just saying? The little thing touched my hand. I thought it was a spider. Goodness gracious. So I believe in 2020, what the Lord is saying is, come. Or 2021, that the Lord is saying, come. Now, I don't know what your boat is. The Holy Spirit can speak uniquely. What he spoke to me was come out of 2020 and come into 2021. That's what I felt like he said to me. And I know that means a multitude of things. It will mean a multitude of things as the year goes on. I don't know what it means to you or what he's saying to you, but you need to spend time in this scripture. You need to spend time saying, Lord, is it you? And if it's you, bid me to come. I don't know what your boat is. I don't know what he's calling you out of. I don't know what he's calling you out of, but I know that he's calling you to do the impossible, that you're going to see the Lord. You're going to see the Lord uniquely out in front of you to where you thought you could never go. He's not asking you to go accomplish something. He's not asking you to go achieve something. Because in the kingdom of God, achieving is only by receiving. Anything you achieve without receiving it from the Lord is nothing worth achieving. So in the kingdom of heaven, the only thing worth achieving comes out of receiving from him. So he goes, he's already in front of where you are, and he says, come. And I'm so thankful that he says this. I'm so thankful. He's like, I'm calling you out of that. You've been rowing all night. You're in the middle. And I felt like that's what he was speaking to me. You're in the middle. You're at halftime in your life. You're in the middle. You're in the middle, and I'm taking you to the other side. But your success or your failure will be dependent upon your ability and readiness to hear and obey me. And I think he's saying, come. Every revelation is an invitation. It's an invitation to step into something new. Well, I'm not comfortable. That's right. When you follow God, you'll grow more outside of your comfort zone than in it. And you have to step out of your comfort zone to walk in courage with God. And then you saw him, you'll see him. I believe he'll show you. You'll see him out in front where he wants you to be. And for some of us, it's not just out in front, straight ahead. It's going to be an adjustment, a correction, because we've gone too far to the right or too far to the left. He's going to auto-correct, recalculating. And when he recalculates, he's going to call us, come. Because he's where we're going and what we're just now starting is already finished from his perspective. And there's so much more I want to tell you, but I want to end with this. And you guys can go sit down. I'll let y'all come sit down. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You've been good disciples.
Thank you.
Yeah, you get that. So maybe I'll share more of this week at the 10 at 10. But the thing I want to end with is a number of years ago, I thought my boat ride was over. And I remember going to a deep time of prayer over kind of setting some time apart to really seek the Lord. And I remember going into prayer and I begin like he opens up the eyes of my heart and I begin to see things. And I was just seeing some things. And I remember seeing this. I knew I was feeling it and seeing it that I had this, it was almost dreamlike. And I was in a prisoner's uniform and I knew there was a number on my chest, like inmate number, whatever. I don't know what the number was, but I knew there was a number on my chest and I knew I was inmate number something. And I was up next to a chain link fence that had the barbed wire, you know, circle thing on the top. And I could feel like, I don't know if you ever get around metal, but you feel it in like your fillings and your teeth and stuff. I could feel the coldness of the metal. I could feel it, and there was a pavement. And I could look out, and there was a grassy hill in front of me and some trees. And I'm sitting there, and I just knew like I was in the yard at the prison yard. And I knew there's all these other inmates. And I felt so alone and so trapped and so overwhelmed. I could feel the metal. I could feel the cage. I could feel the uniform I was wearing. I knew there was a number on me because I could feel the weight of it. And I'm sitting there just thinking, I'm in prison. This is my life. This is it. This is it. I'm a prisoner to fear. I'm a prisoner to shame. I'm a prisoner. This is it. And I began to cry out to God in that moment, feeling that. And I began to see way out in front like this light. And I heard the Lord say, come. This is, gosh, 2010. And I heard the Lord say, come. See, because when I was in the couch a few weeks ago, when I heard him say, when I read it, he said, come, it's like I flashed back immediately to that. And so I remember he said, come. And I'm looking at the fence and I'm like, what? I can't. I can't. I remember thinking, move the fence and I'll come. And what I heard him say was so weird. He said, step back. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And he was kind of like, step back. So I took a step back. Nothing changed. Step back. Three steps back. And then I realized the fence was just a prop, like a movie set. It was just a prop. And I look around, and it was like a movie set. All the actors, all the inmates were actors. I remember sitting there thinking, I've been following this script. And I'm looking, and I'm still like, what do I do? And it's almost like the sensing of the Lord, what he was saying to me was like, walk around it. And the Lord wasn't sarcastic, but it's almost like I heard McFly, walk around it. And so I just remember like walking around the fence and I started running up the hill, went to the light. And I got to the light, it was the Lord. There's some other things that happened, I won't take you through it, but it was the Lord. And it was this young Jesus who was sitting there kind of like, ha! And he's like, come on. Come on. And again, I was like, a couple times, come on, let's go. And then he kind of stopped. And he's like, okay, let me say it the Bible way. This is exactly what happened. Let me say it the Bible way. Come, follow me. And then he's like, come on. And I still was just paralyzed. I was like, I couldn't move. And then again, he kind of like, not like depressed. I'm like, oh gosh, you people. But I feel like he just kind of came, walked up to where I am, put his hand on my shoulder. Oh, geez. Put his hand on my shoulder, looked right into my eye, and said, John, there is nothing I don't know about your future. Come. And he turned around and started walking. And I started following. And then everything just stopped. I don't know what the Lord has planned for you. I, maybe not you, but I sometimes tend to forget the promises of God. The calling of God. I get caught up in my boat. I get caught up in my rowing. I get caught up in all these other things that keep me busy, not effective and not obedient and not fulfilling God's will for my life, but pacifying me by busyness. Being moved by accomplishing things that he never called me to accomplish. That's why I try to live with a motivation to yield myself on a daily basis to hear the Lord, so my adjustment doesn't have to be that dramatic, to hear him say, come. So I don't know what he's calling you to, I don't know what he's calling you out of, and I don't know where he's calling you into. But I believe 2021, you will do the impossible. If you put your focus on Jesus, if we take our focus off of all the nonsense going in the world, I'm not talking about be irresponsible with our responsibilities in the world, but keep him first. That our heart lives to obey him, not be moved by what everybody else says or what we think we should do or what we could do, but Lord, I'm you. If it's you, you tell me to come. And that in your life, he's going to do the impossible. And that the church of the living God and the world that the church is called to reach will see the miraculous power of God through your life. But you got to stay focused. Worship team, come on up. You got to stay focused. You got to stay ready. You got to stay ready. I remember when Jesus told the disciples when they were all, many of the people were leaving Jesus, and Jesus looked and all the people who were leaving him and walking away, Jesus said, do you want to go too? And Peter turned and said to him, Peter messes a lot of stuff up, but he gets it right sometimes. And he turns and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. When you speak, I come alive. Where else am I going to go? What else am I going to do? You're the one that saved me. You have a mission for my life and a purpose for my life. I don't want to get sidetracked into normalcy, God. Falling into the agenda of men. I want to walk in the assignment of God. And so as we go into a time of worship, we want to pray for you. We do worship at the end so that we can have a response to God. So this is not when you turn stuff off. This is when you take it deeper and kind of go to the next level. This is not a concert, so it's not for you just to listen to cool music. This is a time for your heart to take a step further to engage with God. And matter of fact, prayer team, why don't you go ahead and stand up here. We have a people that are trained to pray for you and pray in faith for you. So if you are sensing God doing something in your life and speaking to you, that parts of this is like, man, he's been talking about me. Then you come and you respond to the word and say, would you pray for me about this or about that or about this? And you don't have to tell them the whole story. They'll join you in prayer. If you're praying over a family member or over a friend, over a loved one, somebody who might not be here, they'll pray for you. And the two of you can agree in faith on this one thing that you're walking with God about and you're believing God about. Maybe you're here and you don't know that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven. You don't know you have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you think God is mad at you or angry at you and you're scared to come to him. But let me tell you, he loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son to die in your place on a tree. And so stop running. Get out of your boat and come. Come to him. You're not coming to John because I promise you John's overrated. Promise you that. You'll get tired of John real quick. You're not coming to Faith Center. You're coming to Jesus. And if you're here and you've been running from God or you've been, and you know he's calling you, you and you've never in your life made a decision to surrender yourself to Jesus, then today is the day for you to come up and just tell him, I want to give my life to Jesus. So maybe you do know Jesus, but you've been walking away from him. You've been rowing in the wrong direction for years. And now you hear him inside saying, come. And here's what you can do to get out of your boat is come back to the Lord. Come back up here and say, I'm coming back to the Lord. And I want to take responsibility in my life. I may not be perfect with it, but I'm going to change the direction of my life and I'm going to do it by faith. And I'm going to trust Jesus to do what I'm not able to do. And I'm going to trust him. And to the person, I just heard it. I'm telling you, I just heard it to the person that says, he won't speak to me. To the person that says, not me. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, he's talking to you. I'm telling you right now, I just heard it. It was like a clanging cymbal in my head. The person that's sitting there and the thought in your mind is not me. Maybe for somebody else, but not me. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, he says you. He says you. Even you. Even you. He says, come. You don't know what I've done. I might not know what you've done, but he does. And you come. And if you're, as we worship, guys, don't hesitate to just express your love to God. Clap your hands, sing. Don't be fearful. Don't be shy. We're in the presence of the Lord. Our worship goes to him. We're the people of God. And if you need prayer, you come to one of these. If you want to come and just kneel. If you want to play with spiders, come to the boat. If you want to come and kneel and just have a time between you and the Lord and not anybody interrupting, you just worship him and let go of whatever you need to let go of and lay down whatever you need to lay down before the Lord and then take up faith and take up courage and begin to walk with the Lord, then if that's every week, then do that. Don't ever feel like going to the altar is a bad thing. You come in faith. And as we worship the Lord, let him meet you right where you're at. If you need to give your life to the Lord or give your life back to the Lord, come. If you need prayer for anything, you come to one of these and they'll be thrilled to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we ask you to move amongst your people, God. Move in this room. Break through every barrier. Break through every lie, God. Let movement come. Let movement come. Lord, we are following you and responding to your word. And we hear your invitation, God. We hear your invitation. You're taking us to the other side. And we believe miracles are happening. So, Lord, have your way and fill us with your presence in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.